If We Tolerate This: How the British Establishment Made the Far Right Respectable, by Daniel Trilling. Read by Rory Kinnear. Introduction. At the 2010 general election, one party proposed to deport all illegal immigrants, increase voluntary repatriation, end the asylum swindle, and resist the Islamic colonisation of Britain. Warning that indigenous British people were set to become a minority, it announced it would ban foreigners from receiving benefits, challenge far-leftist social engineering projects that promote equality, and revive local democracy by axing diversity schemes. The rest of the world, as far as it was concerned, could go to hell. It would reallocate the overseas aid budget to the NHS and cut spending on climate change. That was the British National Party. Fascists, whose leader boasted a conviction for incitement to racial hatred, and who were motivated by white supremacism and anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. Its brief presence on the electoral map shocked Britain's political class, and its ideas were rejected by the vast majority of voters. In 2010, the BNP received just 1.9% of the vote. A decade and a half later, every single one of the above proposals has gone mainstream, and racist rhetoric is being laundered as reasonable debate. Our politics is being disfigured by claims that white British people are facing an existential threat, and that the UK is on its way to becoming an island of strangers. We are told that such establishment figures as the Southampton-born, Winchester-educated Rishi Sunak, a recent Conservative Prime Minister no less, can no longer be considered English on account of their family background. There are noisy proposals for the mass deportation of Pakistanis from Britain to create a British version of Donald Trump's armed and armoured ICE street thugs, and to revoke the legal status of tens of thousands of immigrants who have made their lives here. There is a concerted effort to import the American far-right's culture war into our libraries, schools, and communities. Most shocking of all, many of these calls are coming from within the UK's traditional governing elite. Katie Lamb, a contender for whatever is left of the Conservative Party after Kemi Badenoch, has called for large numbers of legally settled families to be deported to ensure cultural cohesion, a policy that Enoch Powell might have found a touch extreme. Powell, in his 1968 Rivers of Blood speech, only called for generous assistance to encourage workers from Britain's former colonies to leave the UK. Robert Jenrick, an ambitious former Tory minister, complains of not seeing another white face in a historically multi-ethnic neighbourhood of Birmingham. It goes well beyond the Conservative Party. Establishment newspapers, the august institutions of the British centre-right, are only too happy to provide a platform for such views. The former Conservative MP Douglas Carswell, he who called for mass deportation of British Pakistanis, is a columnist for the Daily Telegraph. Only a few days before this outburst, he had written a piece suggesting we abolish our independent judiciary in order to deport more immigrants. Meanwhile, the Labour government seems caught between meekly challenging this extremism and trying to meet it halfway with hardline immigration policies and questionable rhetoric. As one Labour MP puts it, deport, deport, deport. We all know what the immediate trigger for this is. Reform UK, a far-right populist party, has been leading the polls. On the streets, outbursts of violence, intimidation, and calls for civil conflict are becoming more frequent. And although much of this is focused on Westminster and England, it touches every part of the UK. September 2025 saw the largest far-right street rally in British history under the banner Unite the Kingdom. Like the proverbial boiling frog that sits in water as it slowly heats up rather than jump to safety, we have allowed something incredibly dangerous to creep up on us. Yet our political class seems